Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you. We are live at First Horizon Park, where the Nashville Sounds will take on the Durham Bulls. First pitch is at 6:35. You can catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, and Social Cantina. I am a Durham-born boy, so it's cool to be here when the Bulls are in town.
There you go.
Yeah. The Bulls. The Bulls. Different ones.
Yes. I'm not sure the sports guys were referring to the Durham Bulls on Saturday Night Live.
The super fans?
Yes, the super fans.
Those are the best.
Yes. It's a bit of a scorcher out here today.
It's but hot.
You know,
we got a good breeze.
We got a good spot. We're in a little breeze way here. I'll take it. I can take it. I love being at the yard, as they call it.
I am willing to sweat for my work.
Okay.
That sweat equity, as they call it,
yes.
Right?
Ain't nothing like sweat equity.
I mean, I'm going to be sitting on my butt for 3 hours, but I will be sweating at the same time. So I do think that counts.
Burning a little calories, I guess.
Yes, we've got a fun show planned. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us at 5, as he usually does on Thursdays. We'll get into the Stanley Cup Final and more with Elliot Freeman, who will be live in Raleigh, North Carolina, not too far from Durham, North Carolina, where Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final will take place tonight. Connor Newt, you are our Titans correspondent. We will get into the Titans more in the 4 o'clock hour, but you were out at practice today. Give us a review. What did you see?
Thank you. Yeah, well, let me first say that it was absolutely a scorcher, so buckle up. Hope you got some towels on you. But, yeah, it was more of the same, kind of the storylines we've been talking about all week. Cam Ward up and down, contrary to popular belief by a couple of people. He did not suck today, but he wasn't good. What I noticed was he is very accurate when it comes to passing inside the slot and passing across the middle and even some mid-range stuff. It's the deep balls that are concerning to me. So that's a storyline to keep an eye on. Carnell Tate, I put this out on Twitter, it's moderately blowing up right now, actually. Carnell Tate made an insane grab right in front of me, one-handed. I posted it, so you can go check that out on my Twitter. But he is as advertised, in my opinion. He is going to be, and hopefully it sustains throughout the rest of the season and the actual football that's going to be played. But from what I've seen, he is the practice darling. He has been absolutely outstanding. He was incredible today. He's always open. And even my biggest knock on him is his yak percentage. It looked like it was high today. It looked like once he got hands on the ball, he was capable of moving and making his way to the end zone without being unscathed. So that's pretty good to know. On the defensive side of the ball, Keldrick Falk is fun to watch. He had a would-be sack on Will Levis today with the twos. So take that with what you will. But what I noticed from him is every time the ball is snapped, he goes all gas, no brakes, as the saying goes for Robert Saleh. And Kevin Winston was the other one defensively that stuck out to me. He had a strip tackle on Calvin Ridley. Yes, I said tackle because he full-on tackled him with no pads, so that happened. But overall, it was, you know, more of the same. I wouldn't necessarily say anything groundbreaking happened today, but it was exciting to see them out on the field and, you know, see some progress being made by some of the young rookies.
And I'm sure we'll get into some more Cam Ward belly aching at OTAs at some point during the program. But we begin with the largest comeback in NBA Finals history. That's right, the New York Knicks defeat the San Antonio Spurs 107-106 after trailing 81-52 in the third quarter. If you can't do quick math, that's 29 points. OG Anunoby with the tip-in game winner at the buzzer, as the Knicks are now one win away from their first championship in half half a century, right? Yep, yeah. Half a century. I had to make sure I did my own math correctly head. But
that's scary to think about.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Since the early 1970s, 1973?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So I've seen a lot of discussion on that shot in particular from OG Anunoby. I think Mike Brown, Knicks coach, said after the game it was the most iconic shot in the history of New York basketball. There's been a lot of New York basketball. But yes. that was an incredible
better than
shot.
The two shots that Willis Reed hit coming out of the thing. I mean, that might be the last. That probably was the last one you'd have to put out there for the Knicks anyway.
Yeah. I mean, but I think it's, you know, you fast forward so many years and with social media and everything, even as you're watching it, your mind, at least mine, my mind automatically went to, this is the greatest poster shot in Knicks history. Like it's like the Michael Jordan as he pulled up and the guy from Utah went by
Russell.
Him. Russell, yeah.
Brian Russell,
yes. Went by him and you saw Mike raise up and you saw that hand. Iconic.
He pushed off.
They're gonna look back, and if the Knicks win this series, that is going to be the play that sort of encapsulate their whole run. Because, I mean, Coach Brown even said it. They talked about luck, you know, having some luck, but also making your own luck.
Is that the picture
yes,
you're referring to?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's about going out there. Yeah, we're going to have some luck in the game, but if you do things the right way, continue to work hard, you're gonna sort of materialize your own luck. And what happened at the end of that game, that was them making their own magical moment, making their own luck. Why? Because OG Anunoby didn't quit on the ball. Everybody went to Brunson and left the lane wide open for him. They won a championship. OG Anunoby may be MVP. I think it should be Brunson, especially if he has a good game next game and they win. But, man, oh, man, people are going to be talking about him rather than Brunson.
I have to give a shout-out to Charles Barkley as well. Charles Barkley has had some fantastic quotes during this series, including his comment on Cardi B.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw it. I was watching in real time.
But he said after the game, and I quote, on the San Antonio Spurs, "We saw the dumbest basketball team in the history of civilization."
And he didn't stop there. He said many versions of the same guess.
But according to Charles Barkley, the Spurs are, quote, the dumbest basketball team in the history of civilization after giving up a 29-point lead in the third quarter of an NBA Finals game. And what the hell, sorry, Connor, what the hell was De'Aaron Fox doing at the end of the game?
Ooh.
Oh, no, it's valid. You can say that.
I know he's your boy. He's a Kentucky guy, but
You run
after the ball, and you dribble out. Why go for the layup?
I think if he had a dead layup, then I would take the layup. But I think he had to know that somebody was on his tail. Like, in this day and age in NBA basketball, I don't think there's such thing as an easy – you don't just lay it in. Somebody is coming to the rim to challenge.
Yeah.
And in that spot, you got to – he just didn't – he thought he had time that he didn't have, and he should have pulled out. They would have had to foul him, and they would have shot two. I don't know if they would have won for sure.
Essentially, that would have, had he been fouled, they were up, what, 1 point at that point?
They were up by one.
Yeah, so had he fouled, it would have given them an opportunity to set up everything that they needed to set up, make the two free throws, and at least, at best, the only thing they can do is tie the game.
And I can see in the moment – you're sprinting. You think you can
finish it.
You're right there. Your instincts are telling you to lay it in. But he just that extra thought of who's on my tail. I got a guy that's going to challenge it. Let's just take it out. They have to foul. That just didn't register in time. But to Shaq's point, I did think that the Spurs, they stopped attacking the basket. They just were content to just launch.
3 points.
They kept thinking, well, we're hot. We're going to keep hitting some threes here. And they kept taking quick threes, and they for all of the ones they hit in the first half, mm-hmm. 14 for 26 or something, where they couldn't miss, they were equally as cold in the second half, and it allowed the Knicks to crawl back into it. It's not crazy that you see this. In today's NBA, you do see extreme runs a lot of times within games. So I wasn't totally shocked they got back into it. I kept thinking, they're going to – I told everybody I was watching the game with, I said, they're going to get it within 10. I'll guarantee you. And they were like, really? I was like, it's a long game. This was in the first half.
Yes.
I said this. But then when they got it to 15, I'm thinking, okay, the crowd is looking for some way to get back into it. Mm-hmm. Just a couple more plays and – the nerves, the feeling will change, and sure enough, that's what happened.
Basketball, I think, is it may be the only sport that you can be down 30 points. Like 30 points in basketball is probably like, 28. I mean, yeah, about 35 points in NFL or NHL, and maybe – well, NHL may be up there with basketball in regards to this, where you're down that many points going in a half, and your mindset is if we can get it down to 10, well, we can get it down to 20, if we can get it down to 15. They said on television, which I was thinking, like, if they – I said if the Knicks get this down to 15 points – before the fourth quarter start, they got a chance. They didn't, but they kept it at a pace where they liked. And then eventually, with 7 minutes left, they got it to, 14 points. And after that, San Antonio, they just imploded from a what-do-we-do standpoint.
They scored 30 points in the second half, the San Antonio Spurs.
After 76
30 points
at the half.
They were
the
on pace to score 152 points.
But that, I think that if there was one thing that I thought they didn't do a good job of, it was they didn't continue to attack the basket. Mm-hmm. If you look at Harper and Castle and then obviously Wemby in the lane,
yeah.
If they did just kept doing what they've been doing and then kick it out for threes. It's not like you don't stop taking threes. But they just didn't have that killer instinct. They've had so much success attacking the basket. So the Knicks, you got to have a little help. Mm-hmm. But in NBA basketball, with the three-point shot and the 24-second shot clock, mm-hmm. there's so many possessions in a game. You can get way behind. It's not that unusual to come back. But still, that was remarkable. In that environment and the way it happened and the physicality, the wrestling that was going on,
man.
I've never seen anything quite like that.
They're letting them play. They are seriously letting them play. Now, Wemby got a tech. I didn't agree with it. I don't think he tried to do it, but he's so tall, and he's trying to get through, being held and everything else. He hit Karl-Anthony Towns in the face, so he got his tech. But basketball is just – it's an amazing sport from the standpoint of, you're never truly out of it, no matter what goes on, because – and maybe there should be studies, and I'm sure there have been studies done on this. What is the effect when you switch ends? If you're a hot team on one end, and then you come out of half, you're on the other, how much of that continues? Or how much do your percentage dip as a team if you're talking about from the three-point range?
It's interesting. I think that can be something. Mm-hmm. And I also, the mathematicians will tell you that it's so hard. It's good. You could be the best three-point shooters going, but it's just hard to go 14 for 26 and then continue to shoot at that percentage. It's going to level out at some point, and that's what happened. So I the old fundamentals of basketball: get fouled, get to the free throw line. That's the best way to maintain a lead. And they took a lot of quick shots, content to shoot contested threes. They stopped hitting them. And they weren't aware enough to say, hey, get back to it. Get the ball to Wemby in the lane. They can't stop him in there. They're going to foul him. They'll get trouble and kick it out for outside shots instead of just bing, 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 chuck it up there.
Clearly, it was all thanks to Taylor Swift. She was courtside.
Was there a little too much Taylor Swift for your liking there?
For mine, it was.
She's not a Knicks fan.
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's not a diehard Knicks fan,
well,
is she?
Well, I've become desensitized to it just because of how often we saw during Chiefs games when she first started dating Travis Kelce. But Taylor Swift, she's always going to get the cameras. And by the way, so somebody posted the full list of celebrities who attended the game last night. So at Madison Square Garden, in the press room, they will put a list of all of the celebrities who are attending the game, whether it's a Rangers game or a Knicks game or what have you, and they'll put their seat section and number so that photographers can find them to take pictures. And somebody posted the list, and it was like 2.5 sheets long. That's how many celebrities were at the game last night. And it was sort of funny looking at the list because you could sort of tell which tier every celebrity was on based on how far down the page they were.
It wasn't done by alphabetical order.
No, it was not an alphabetical order. Taylor Swift somewhere near the top. But maybe it was the Wu-Tang Clan.
It could have been. I mean, and I started to turn the game off. I said after halftime, they were going to halftime. I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going to continue to watch this game. Because I was kind of upset because the Knicks won winning. And I couldn't be mad at San Antonio, but I wanted to because they were playing so good. They weren't doing anything cheap. Even when Robinson hit Wemby in the net, I wanted to get mad at San Antonio, but I couldn't. I'm like, Wemby didn't do anything. You know, so it was like, man. But I was like, okay, I'm going to give it about 10 more minutes after half. If they don't get it done, then I'm turning it off. And slowly they started to chip away, man. It was the one of the best games outside of – now, we could talk about this too. When we look back in history of finals, like during this time, what would be considered the greatest combination of finals?
That's a good question because I've
Carolina
been thinking about
that
myself.
Carolina and Vegas and this, because both,
oh, wow.
The
both
Vegas,
together.
I mean, the Carolina, 33 goals in 39 seconds, even though they didn't win, but three goals in 39 seconds. And then the acrobatic goal that was made in the next game by Carolina. I mean, goodness.
I think you could put this Stanley Cup final and these NBA finals against many others in history, and you could make the argument that side by side, these two final series are the best we've seen happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Both have been absolutely fantastic. By the way, Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight. Game 5 of the NBA Finals, not until Saturday. Knicks at Spurs, the Knicks looking to win their first title in more than 50 years. 615-737-1025 will take your thoughts on the NBA Finals. But coming up next, speaking of major sporting events, there is one happening. It started today. And I have a question for a lot of you about this particular major sporting event. And we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Connor Newt, today's musical theme is?
Cover songs that were better than the original. This is Michael Jackson singing My Girl by The Temptations.
Okay.
Derek, Willie, do you agree with that?
Wow.
Ooh, I love Mike, but man. The Temps. Nah, nobody sang it like David Ruffin, man.
You might be 0 for 1, Connor.
Well, I have to say, I don't think I'm familiar with it. I didn't know that this was out there.
Well,
I discovered it yesterday. That's what inspired
really?
This.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I need to hear more, but right now I got to go with The Temptations.
All right, we'll see if Connor can redeem himself throughout the program. I mean, as long as you have Alien Ant Farm's cover of Smooth Criminal, then we're good. But well,
no.
Well, oh, okay. Well, I tried. Anyway, we were talking about the NBA Finals. We've been talking about the Stanley Cup Final. Both series have been incredible. But kicking off today, the World Cup. There is a game going on right now. Mexico leads South Africa 1-0. South Korea plays Czechia. I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Czechia? Czechia? I don't know.
Czechia.
A.K.A. the Czech Republic. South Korea and Czechia play later today The U.S. men's national team starts its tournament tomorrow at SoFi Stadium against Paraguay. And the World Cup is the biggest sporting event in the world. But I'm wondering what the level of interest is within the United States. There is the added benefit that North America is hosting the World Cup this go around for the first time since 1994. There are games in Canada and Mexico, but most of the games are happening here in the U.S. I'm sure ratings will be great because of the TV-friendly kickoff times, because the games are here versus 2022 when the games were in Qatar, if I recall correctly. And it's 11:24 p.m. in Qatar, so an eight-hour difference. I don't think I stayed up late to watch any games in the World Cup 4 years ago. But I know that soccer is a beloved sport worldwide. I am wondering, from our listeners, 615-737-1025, if the World Cup being on American soil changes your interest level.
And I would add to this. We, for a long time, for people that might be newer to town, we as a city, we were right in the mix to get World Cup games here in Nashville. And then all of the complications happened with the football stadium, and the Titans made the decision to put a roof on the stadium, which really pivoted them away. We're like, we were a finalist as a city.
Yeah,
I think we would certainly feel it a million times more if we had a game here in the next week or two. But I'm really curious, even though we're not feeling it in our city, if you have added interest for that. And also, given the fact that now we've, you know, we put four more years under our belt as a soccer market. We've got Nashville SC, which has got a great following. It's a great place to watch a game. You know, Messi's been here. We've hosted a lot of Olympic events. We've had friendlies with the national team. We've had international games here. So I've always wanted to gauge the interest in the World Cup because, as you said it, Adam, this is the biggest sporting event in the world, and it's not debatable. Like, it's not close.
Yeah.
So I would love to know, are you playing along here? Like, I am huge into the World Cup. I don't watch any leagues overseas at all. I follow Nashville SC. I'd like to know how they're doing. I'll go to an occasional game. But I am not an international soccer fan at all. That being said, when the World Cup is going, I am all in. I love watching the games.
I think there are a enough of a group or enough of those that represent soccer in this city. I think eventually, you know, they may be having watch parties in other areas, not in the area that we're in. Maybe they have them in East. I would tend to believe that there was a concentration of soccer fans in that sort of area near the ballpark, well, near the stadium. So I think as the American team, if they advance to where people believe they should or the expectation, I think the fever pitch will start to – we'll start to feel it a little bit more. And maybe even the closer you get to games time, they play tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow night.
Maybe tomorrow is – tomorrow it's a different sort of feeling around town or at least in some places that you frequent or whatnot. So, but I think there's a – maybe it doesn't get the coverage – necessarily because of what's going on in the other two finals that are happening. Maybe not. I don't know. But I'm sure there are other states that see this as the biggest thing that they're going to have during the year, especially during the summer.
I'm glad Derek brought up specifically the U.S. team because I think if you go back 3, 4, 5 World Cups, the significance of the U.S. team has increased. They've gotten better each 4 years. They're more of a factor. There's a higher expectation level, and there's that curiosity. Could they break through and really have a chance to win it? They've never come close to winning the World Cup, but, you know, they've had their moments. And so now is it HBO that's got the running show that's been sort of building up? They've been going behind the scenes to try to help you learn who the players are and stuff. I'm curious from our listeners' standpoint, too, Are you jumping on board? Are you you know, getting together with U.S. fans, you know, it's always fun because people go absolutely crazy for these the soccer fans, you know, with the chants and everything.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in, really.
Here's where I stand on this. I am not a soccer fan generally, as you just said, Willie. I am not a soccer fan generally. That is nothing against the sport of soccer. I'm not here complaining that it's boring or low scoring, but it's just not.
And by the way, somebody volunteered to be that fan. I want that fan to call in. You have to have this discussion with that fan. Somebody be the guy that ignites the fuse with all the other soccer fans. Hey, you can't talk about our sport like that.
Yes, I am not that guy. I am not going to criticize soccer. It's just not for me, and that's okay.
So privately, you're that guy. You just don't want to be a jerk on
yes,
there.
Yes, exactly.
I will neither confirm nor deny. But let me continue my point. I do also think part of it is, you mentioned this, Willie, the U.S. men's national team has never been the favorite in a World Cup. I believe they are 13th or 14th in betting odds to win the World Cup, the favorite, Spain, France is up there, England, Portugal, Brazil, Argentina, etc. I think if the U.S. men's team was more of a factor to actually win the World Cup, I think more people would be invested at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I am a wait-and-see kind of World Cup viewer. For example, I probably will not watch the U.S. team's game against Portugal tomorrow. I'm sorry, match against Paraguay. Two mistakes there. Match against Paraguay tomorrow. But if Team USA advances deep into the World Cup, I will probably start to check in. But
you won't even have it on background?
Probably not, no. I'm being honest. I'm being
no,
honest.
No, I get it.
Are you not an American?
I mean, look. I said game instead of match. I said
exactly.
I said Portugal instead of Paraguay.
Yeah.
And I did not know that the World Cup expanded to 48 teams until yesterday.
I didn't either, so don't worry about it.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, that's least of the problems. But, yes. I mean, hey, listen. Soccer is in the U.S., it's a growing sport. Everywhere else, it is the sport.
Correct.
You know, that they go to. And to them, you know, soccer is like our football. You know, so I enjoy it because I'm hoping that the U.S. get to a point where, you know, you can't wait to see them play the next match, which means they're continuing to win. But just enjoying, you know, a sport that I usually don't watch, but I'm watching it because it's the U.S. versus somebody else and see where they measure up. So that's the reason I'm going to watch it. Will I pay, like, close attention to it? Probably not, not at least the first game. But it will be sort of on a quad television.
Are you going to put it on the quad?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm going to watch. I'm going
to
watch tomorrow. And I do kind of miss – I used to like – when the games were maybe in Europe and they were in the morning, like leading up to the show. Like, I do like that flow. Now there's going to be some primetime games. I'm not sure. Like, I gotta have my baseball. And, of course, like you said, the finals are so compelling for hockey and basketball. We got to make time for those. So,
well, nothing is going up against the U.S. men's national team match tomorrow.
I think it's okay to say game. I think.
Don't die, because some people may be listening.
I know,
and they said, "No, it's not okay."
I will say back to them, "Do you want me to watch or not?" Don't get on me for missing the terminology. I'll give you a funny story. I got to do a YouTube broadcast of the U.S. women's national team in a friendly several years ago, and this was Alex Morgan and Rapinoe and. You know, this was a great team, like a great team. All the top players were playing.
Uh-huh.
And I used the term the correct term in soccer is, and of course, my daughter was a young soccer player at the time. I didn't know all the lingo at the time, but I was like, okay, I know a little bit of the lingo, you know. You try to bend it, right?
Uh-huh.
So Megan Rapinoe is taking a free kick, and she bent one.
Uh-huh.
I used the term banana. And, man, the trolls, did they ever get after me. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, what did I do? What did I do? I was like, it's the same thing. It's a curvature. It's an image. The ball curved like a banana. It was an arc.
What did I use?
And on the playground, we used to always call it the banana kick. But, you know, apparently the terminology is she bent it.
Yeah.
Like Beckham.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man. I pissed off the – I ticked off the soccer
fans. And that's
fans.
Why
I didn't
I
want
say,
that.
And that's why I say you just can't say flipping. Oh, you could just say that because you can't.
I got exposed.
To borrow a phrase from my predecessor in this chair, I'm not here to yuck anybody's yum, okay? I am a hockey sicko. When earlier this year during the Winter Olympics, I watched all of the games, as many games as I could, because I am a hockey sicko. I did not just watch Team USA or Canada. I watched all the games. During the Summer Olympics, I am a basketball fan. I will watch as many basketball games as I can, not just Team USA. I'll watch the other powerhouses play their games as well. For me, as someone who does not watch soccer regularly, I feel like I'm going to have a hard time getting into this. Where I stand on it is, if the U.S. men's national team advances further than anticipated in the tournament, I'll check it out. I remember there being so much buzz around that women's team several years ago. I watched those games. My wife watched those games. It was a big deal. If the men can find a similar groove, I'll tune in. But right now, I'll be a passive watcher at best.
Okay.
I'm just being honest.
I will also give you another fun gateway if you're just a casual fan and you want to try to get the flavor.
Yeah.
Watch England play because the fans are insane. Mm-hmm. And they are always waiting for the worst thing to happen. And they're kind of like what we've talked about before with like the Knicks, the Maple Leafs. Like they haven't won in a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
They always feel like they have a chance. And everybody completely loses their mind when something goes bad. And the papers over there, it's just, what do you like to call it, Adam's like secondhand whatever. Like you're not.
Secondhand embarrassment.
Well, I don't know if it's embarrassment. Secondhand something, because it's just fun to sit on the railing. You're not emotionally invested in this team, but just watching these people just die inside as they're watching them come up short. And if they ever do win it, it'll be. I don't know what will happen.
New York.
I don't know what will happen. Yeah.
This is why I just thought about it. There are going to be a lot of people watching, whether they love soccer or not.
I do think the ratings will be very good because the games are on at reasonable times.
It's not even that.
Because the tournament is here.
It's not even that.
But I do think that is an entry point for a lot of people. Of course. That the games are on
accessible
at a normal time.
Yeah, and it's just accessible for everybody to get. But it gives everybody – a reason to drink.
That is for sure.
It gives people a reason to drink. Not that you need one.
Oh.
But this gives you a reason
if
to
you
drink.
Like to do that.
Exactly.
Then I would say, look around. Just go on the internet. You'll find.
Bars.
Just because there are places that open up to watch the English Premier League,
uh-huh.
you know, when and it's, I don't know, 9 or 10 in the morning. And those games, they'll be at the pubs.
Uh-huh.
So for these games, you just pick your country that you want. You can find a place where they're watching.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, you really want to get into it, watch at a pub for the English games. Them rooting for that team and going nuts with every play. If you've watched Ted Lasso, too, you have a little feel for what that's like. It's insane.
I remember my junior year in college, I studied abroad for one semester in London. And I tried to get into soccer or football when I was there. And it was interesting. But what I do remember is trying to find any pub or bar in London that would play the AFC Championship game between the Jets and the Colts in 2010. And we finally found a pub that would turn on the game for us. We went to like 4 or 5 different bars/pubs. It was like, do you have the American football game on? And they were like, huh? But then we found one that did, and we were very appreciative. 615-737-1025. The World Cup is underway. The U.S. men's national team kicks off tomorrow against Paraguay, not Portugal, Paraguay. What is your interest level with the tournament here in North America for the first time since 1994? 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction and continue the conversation coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you at First Horizon Park. Amy Winehouse, Connor?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What's wrong with Amy Winehouse?
No, I was just making sure I was correct that it was Amy Winehouse.
Yes, Amy Winehouse and Mark Ronson.
Okay. One texter says, come on, Adam, tell us the real reason you don't get into soccer. Be honest and be that guy. Well, I had a traumatic experience at soccer camp when I was younger.
Oh.
No, it wasn't really traumatic. I just didn't want to go, and I threw a big hissy fit.
Oh,
well, it's traumatic to you, huh?
It was traumatic to me.
You didn't get called for, like, a handball in front of everybody, and there was a penalty kick as a result, or, like, a bad moment on the field?
No.
Or the pitch, as they call it?
No, yeah. Make sure you get your terminology correct.
No one bent it on you?
And No one bananaed me. Nothing actually traumatic happened. I just had a bad time because I didn't want to go, and my parents made me go, and maybe that's what it stems from. The most excited I've been about soccer is watching my son play soccer.
It's always fun to watch your kids play soccer.
Yes. Yes. One texter says, imagine if every hockey game ended 0-0 or 1-0 or every football game 7-3.
But it's not like – I think people are sort of mixing sort of things up. You expect points to be scored, even if, you know – that game, they don't score many points, so it ends up 3-0. But you go in expecting more than just that. You go into soccer expecting one or two goals. I don't think anybody that goes into soccer.
For it
exactly.
Anyway.
I don't think, like, soccer fans, they would want their team to score 3 or 4 goals. But they realistically, you know, I wonder what is the highest scoring team out there?
I don't know a whole lot about soccer, but it does seem like in the World Cup in particular, you're going to tighten up. You're not going to play as loose and free as you would in regular season. It's no different than the NBA or the NHL. The World Cup is different. The NBA Finals, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs are different. So it even makes it more prone, I think, to have the 1-1, 2-1 type of games. But, yeah, You appreciate the teams, and this is, again, my limited knowledge of how it works, but teams that have the higher skill, like Brazil, a lot of times they will still try to play and beat you 3 or 4-0, even if it means they're more prone to give up a goal. Some teams will be like, we will not give up a goal. We want to win 1-0 or 2-1. We're not going to let you score. That's the best way to win. Defense wins championships kind of stuff. I'd love to hear from some soccer fans who can help fill it in, throughout this whole process.
Well, here's
one. Tell us what to look for.
Here's one. As a soccer fan, I've been looking forward to this World Cup for years. This is an opportunity for soccer to capitalize on a growing momentum with the youngest generation of Americans. There could be a genuinely seismic shift in soccer culture in this country with a good run. And not to diminish what that texter is saying, but I do feel that is a popular talking point whenever there's a worldwide sporting event with Team USA winning Olympic gold in hockey. Oh, there's going to be such a spike in hockey or what have you. Like, do we think that the U.S. men's national team, if USMNT goes on an unprecedented run, that people – young people in this country are going to be taking up soccer? Like, that's a legitimate question. Do we think it's going to have that impact if the USA team goes on a legitimate run?
I think it has the potential to. I think, you know, because this is a group that, you know, was pegged to be great. was pegged to be greater or better, much better, than their predecessor. So, you know, people just assume this team, this will be the group of guys that will have the best shot at winning in the World Cup. And it hasn't, they haven't come close to it. So if they do go on a run, I think, and they do win, or even play in the finals, I think it will sort of do what other sports from a Olympic standpoint does for the U.S. If they're going all the way, then you tend to pick up more viewers. You tend to pick up more people that are going to participate in that sport. If they don't, then maybe you don't see that influx of new eyes or new people to the sport.
I do think that every 4 years, it grows. Mm-hmm. It's not this takeover. It's not this, like, you wake up one morning and, like, what happened? Everybody's a soccer fan. It's not like that. But every 4 years, I do feel like there's more and more interest. Because I go back a long way on shows like this in this city. Every 4 years, we have this conversation. But I would have to tell you, like, 12 or 15 years ago, I didn't think we'd be able to fill up a stadium the way we do for an MLS team.
Yeah.
And it's a great, well-run thing. Like, there are soccer fans. Now, there's more kids playing. The women's soccer has grown exponentially now. Like, it's such a popular sport, for sure.
But the women have had more success at this level than the men.
But I would also say this about the men. Every 4 years, I think they get a little bit better. And, you know, we still don't grow and develop as many people as you hope. Like, you hope in a nation our size, we could find up getting a lot of players from overseas that are, you know, sons of military or different people that got their development a lot of times not here.
Yeah.
But they're eligible to play for USA, so we take them, right? Hopefully someday we can still develop more and more players, but we won't have to rely on that. But I still think it's kind of a suburban. It's just not what a lot of young boys gravitate to first, with exceptions, right?
Yeah.
There's some people that just love the soccer, but it's a lot of times you play early, and there's still this force that pulls you towards football or baseball or basketball.
Yeah, ultimately.
Yeah.
Some do
it's
stay.
It's just a tradition.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Some do stay and play soccer, but I think soccer, like any sport, any Olympic sport, because soccer is an Olympic sport. I just think when the U.S. team, whether it be in the World Cup or any other tournament, when they're having success, and we saw it on the women's side, people gravitate toward it. More eyes are on the sport. Then you may get a younger demographic or a younger group starting to play that sport just because they saw it. I think it'll be the same way if the U.S. can find themselves in meaningful games and meaningful moments. I think it will, because now basketball's over with, hockey is over with, football hasn't started yet. So now everybody will be focused on one sport, and that's soccer.
Quickly, let's go to Adam in Portland on our phone line. Adam, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Well, I think Derek hit it on the head. Like, it's very deliberate that they do it in June, because I'm 3 out of 10 interested, and that's the best you're ever going to get out of me. Like, so Mbappe and Messi, for $1 billion, I couldn't name a third soccer player that exists on this earth. So, and that, I don't understand it. And so because I don't understand it, my interest level came. But there's nothing else. It's either that or, like, what, rugby? Or I could watch people shoot pool if they still do that on ESPN. I thought that was cool, but other than that, we had nothing, dude. We've run out, and, like, the depression hits you, except when the World Cup's on, you're like, oh, I can watch the World Cup. So, yeah, man, that's as good as I'm ever going to get is 3 out of 10.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, but then, you know what, because I asked my son this had to be some years ago. He may have still been in high school at the time, too. And I asked him about, you know, soccer, and do you want to, you know, because one of the games where I was like, do you want to watch soccer or do you want to go to a soccer game? He was like, no, the World Games hasn't started yet. You know, or the Olympics, like, I like watching everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, and some people are like that. They're not going to pay attention to the sport as much, but then they enjoy watching other guys that are known in the sport, but they're from other countries. They like watching those individuals too. So, I mean, eventually I think we have this conversation every 4 years. You know, how much of an influence can, you know, the World Games or the Olympics have on particular sports, smaller ones. And we've seen it happen with women's soccer. We've seen it happen with softball and baseball. When the U.S. is doing well in particular sports like that, people tend to gravitate to them.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we get into the Tennessee Titans. They were out at practice today. Connor Newt was out there. He gave us his practice report at the beginning of the show. Robert Saleh could have written his own epitaph based on something I heard him say earlier today. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.